Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing Grace.
Well, as we are moving along in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and Paul is addressing the spiritual gift of tongues, we find out the tongues, when exercised in the church, which is not recommended by the Apostle Paul, as we've already seen in the earlier part of this chapter, but nevertheless, when tongues are exercised in the assembly of the saints, then they must be carefully regulated. Now, that section is introduced with verse 26, which says, "How is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, let all things be done for edification." And that last statement is highly instructive. All the elements of the service, he's already mentioned several here, psalms, prophecies, teaching, tongues, interpretation of tongues, all the elements of the service are all to be geared for edification. Well, what's edification? Well, edification is building up the saints in their knowledge of God's Word and their ability to serve the Lord. Ephesians 4 tells us that Christ gave to the church certain gifted men, such as apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, for the edification of the saints for the work of the ministry. These gifted men who lead the church and who teach God's word in the church do so that the members of the church might be edified, that is, might be built up, so that they can do the work of the ministry. An interesting concept. A lot of people haven't caught that one yet. Who does the work of the ministry? The preacher does. No. Who does the work of the ministry? The saints do. The preacher equips the saints to do the work of the ministry. But how does he do that? By teaching God's word. He edifies. He builds them up in their knowledge of Scripture, their understanding of Scripture, their application of Scripture. This is what equips them to be able to do the work of the ministry. And the same thing is said here. All these elements of the worship service are to be for edification. So what you sing should be calculated, should be screened, should be chosen for the purpose of edification. This will teach people truth. This will build them up in the most holy faith. And likewise, all the other elements, that's the primary reason why people come to church, or why they ought to come to church, the biblical reason why people come to church, why they gather together, why we have the assembly of the saints. What for? For the teaching of God's word to edify the saints of God. Everything should point in that direction. And tongues is included in that list of things that can only be exercised properly if it results in edification. So we'll look at that a little bit more closely, but first let me pause and welcome you to this Monday, May 9 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And secondly, to thank you for your financial consideration. Now, having said that everything is for the purpose of edification, Paul says, tongues, when exercised, must be carefully regulated. And so verse 27 says, if anyone speaks in a tongue. If anyone speaks in a tongue, and he goes on to say, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. So there are three things that are required here if tongues are going to be utilized in the church service, which, again, I repeat, is not the purpose for them, not the primary purpose for them, to be sure. We've already covered that earlier in the chapter. Tongues are for a sign, not for the believer, but for the unbeliever, and so forth. We won't go back to that now. But if tongues are employed in a church service, then three things must be regulated. Three things must be required for the exercise of tongues. What are they? Number one, the number of tongue speakers has to be carefully regulated. It should be only two, or at the most. If you stretch a little bit, you can get clear up to three. But any others who speak in tongues and who would like to speak in tongues in church must wait for another meeting. In any one service, the most you can have is three, and ideally, it would be better to only have two. How does that compare with how tongues are often employed in church services today? What else? The number of speakers is to be carefully regulated, and the orderliness of presentation must be carefully regulated. Verse 27 again, if anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn. What does that mean? One at a time. No two speaking at once. Each in turn. If you have two tongue speakers, one speaks, and when he's done, the other one can speak after what the first one said has been interpreted, as we'll see in a moment. And likewise, if you go as far as three, same requirement prevails. In Corinth, Paul said, we're not going to have two people speaking at the same time. Now, I don't get into church services where tongues are employed very often. I don't know. I can't remember if I've ever been in the church service where they have been employed. So I have to gather my information from what people tell me. But I have been told by people who have attended such services where tongues are exercised today, or at least, well, something called tongues is exercised today. I'm told that the common way of doing it is for people all over the auditorium to all be speaking in tongues at the same time. It's just sort of a general free-for-all. We have this time where we give it over to speaking tongues, often in connection with praise, with singing. So while some people are singing, others are speaking in tongues all at the same time. All in disorderly confusion, at least according to what is described here in 1 Corinthians 14. This ought to be considered disorderly confusion. If it is not, it's because you have not paid close attention to the Scripture. But there should only be one speaker at a time. What else? Well, the third requirement is that there must be an interpreter. So again, I read it, verse 27. If anyone speaks in a tongue, that if is a big if, probably be better not to, but it's okay, said Paul, when the spiritual gift of tongues is in operation, when God has given that to some people in the church, we will allow it to be exercised in church, but only when these three things are followed. Number of speakers, two and no more than three at the most. The way that they are to speak, each one in turn, no two people speaking at the same time. And thirdly, there must be an interpreter. Let one interpret. Let one interpret. In fact, the Greek is even more emphatic. It says one and only one. Let one and only one interpret. So evidently, and the gift of interpretation is another spiritual gift that the Holy Spirit gave to some people. So some had the gift of speaking in tongues. Some had the supernatural ability to understand and interpret the tongues, because it had to be a supernatural ability. The languages that were spoken were not languages understood by the people who were present. So if what was said is going to be made intelligible, somebody has to be able to interpret, and because in most cases there won't be anybody there who speaks that particular language. It is a known language upon the earth, but not one that is spoken commonly by the people in that church. But no matter, the Holy Spirit miraculously gives some people the ability to interpret, but only one interpreter. One and only one. What does that mean? Well, that means the interpreter for any particular service will be designated ahead of time. Brother so-and-so will be our interpreter today. Now, we'll let you and you, okay, and you, three, that's all, no more. Three of you can give us a message in tongues, and as each one does, first of all, we'll have Brother A, and then we'll have Brother B, and then we'll have Brother C. And after Brother A has spoken his revelation in tongues, then Brother D, who's going to be our interpreter today, will tell us what he said. And then Brother B can speak his message in tongues. And these messages evidently were relatively short. We're just talking about like maybe a verse or two out of the Bible. But now Brother B will give us his revelation in tongues. And when he's finished, Brother D will interpret. He's our interpreter today, one and only one. And then when he's completed his message and interpretation, Brother C will give us his message in tongues. And when he's done, Brother D will interpret that. And then that's all. That's all for today. Tongues must be interpreted when exercised in church. Otherwise, they serve no purpose in church. Even when interpreted, it's a rather inefficient declaration of truth, a rather inefficient speaking of revelation, God's revelation, much more efficient to have a prophet speak to us directly in our own language. But, okay, it can be exercised in church, but only when regulated in this way. And if there's no interpreter, then sorry, we can't. Oh, Brother D, our interpreter isn't present today, and nobody else is present here who has the gift of interpretation. Evidently, the church knew who had which gifts, and the leaders knew who had which gifts. And if you look around and say there's nobody present today with the gift of interpretation, what does that mean? No tongues today. They'll have to wait till another time, another service, another Lord's Day, when an interpreter is present and available. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two, or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But, verse 38, if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in church. And let him speak to himself and to God. Let him keep silent in church. No exercise of tongues in church with two people speaking at the same time. No. Or more than three people at the most speaking at all in tongues, no more. And if there's no interpreter, nobody. If there's no interpreter, let him, the person with the gift of tongues, keep silent in the church. That's the regulation that the inspired apostle gives. Please join me again tomorrow. Until then, good day. May God give you his eternal peace.